Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com, including this, the Ira Kaufman podcast. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, Tampa's first family of Ford, and they have got a nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, 0% financing. But most important, Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he'll work with you personally to make sure you get what you want and what you need. Right, Sean?
Listen, you want to buy a car, service a car, do a body shop, sit down, talk bucks with me. I'm available 6 days a week. All right? So come into Bill Curry Ford, ask for me. We'll sit down. I'll take care of everything, and we'll talk some football.
I don't see C.J. Stroud in the same pantheon as an Andrew Luck. A little kick in the groin while you're trying to take the guy's arm down, that helps a little bit.
All the signs point to bolstering the offensive line, and I'll tell you why. But you can't stink it running the ball. And they stink.
You know, I might show up in a skirt, a necklace, whatever they want, a wig. You know what those are? Those are names. They're names. They're not proven.
Buccaneers fans, the draft is approaching. Not even 8 days away. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Sage, we're fired up. I know you're dying to get out of the house and party with Bucks fans at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City, upstairs, second floor, Centro Ybor. Gorgeous, big, new place. Fantastic menu. Bucks fans coming out. And for you draft gurus, we're going to have our Pick the Pick contest presented by Florida's Elite Restoration. That means you'll get a chance to pick the Buccaneers draft pick, who they're going to take at number 19. And of course, they may not draft number 19, so it's really a who they're going to take in the first round. There'll be some tiebreakers. The winner gets $500 from Florida's Elite Restoration. And we've got a secondary contest, which will also have a $500 prize from our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. 7 o'clock, roll in. Draft starts at 8. And you can hang out. A lot of good energy in the draft. It's always exciting. The Sage will be there, of course, mingling. And the food, the beer, the cocktails. Fantastic. Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City, 7th Avenue, Centro Ybor. Follow them on social media, Big Storm Ybor. You can get a little look at the place, especially on Facebook, if that's your thing. BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com. Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, and our draft guru, Ira. It's coming close to the time where we sit down with Sean and get his mock draft and his thoughts if you're not listening to his podcast, which is the best-in-class podcast breaking down all the positions, Sage. So we'll all be out there, all fired up. How are you, Ira?
Oh, that's going to be a special night, draft night at Ybor. You know, the giveaways, the food, the special guests. You know, I think it's tremendous. Steve, when you're talking about, pick the buck pick, Lee, suppose somebody, he might have a couple of Kolschs in him, maybe, a Bay Beer, and he's trying to win that money, Lee, and he's trying to pick a guy that nobody else is going to take. And, Lee, there might be more than a few guys out there, or ladies, that decide to take a flyer, Lee, and put down the name C.J. Stroud. How do you like that, DeKemper? They put down C.J. Stroud because, Lee, you've been throwing up the possibilities of moving up to 2. All these rumors about the Texans are not enamored with taking a quarterback at number 2. Maybe the pick's available. You floated Devin White out there. Lee, somebody in that pick the pick contest is going to put C.J. Stroud's name on a piece of paper.
If C.J. Stroud's the pick of the Bucks, that will be... My gosh, when will be the last time the Bucks made a splash like that?
Oh, baby. They've made some splashes in the negative sense, Lee. Crazy things they've done. But you're right, Lee. They would be the talk of the draft. Steve, I don't know how realistic it is to move from 19 to 2. It's a big, big jump, Lee. You got to start with Devin White and then add on from there. I think they'd ask for next year's number 1. Next year's number 1 and Devin White, you know, that's steep, Lee. It's steep. You really would have to be sold on C.J. Stroud.
All right, here's the thing. There's two interesting elements. I'm glad you went here, Ira. I wasn't going to go here, but you're the sage. It's quarterback. You could say the Bucks need a quarterback. Even though Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield reported for duty, the competition is on, allegedly, and Sage. But here's the thing. So the Texans, with that number 2 pick, Peter King dropped his pre-draft podcast. It's not his mock draft, but he dropped a long pre-draft podcast sharing all kinds of intel that he's picked up through his chattering this offseason. And to give King credit, he's everywhere. He did sit with Jason Light virtually during the 2020 draft, lest we forget that. He was on Light's computer listening in. You know, he's got a lot of access. Well, he says the Texans are very, very high on Hendon Hooker, and the Texans, with some of their moves with through the Deshaun Watson trade, they also have the number 12 pick. So King seems to believe that Houston's going to trade out of the number 2 pick, you know, probably Indianapolis, maybe Seattle, and then they would use some of that draft capital, move up from number 12, and get where they need to be to get Hooker at maybe 8 or 7 or something like that, so or maybe even 10. So that's where he thinks it's at. So it just shows the quarterbacks are going to go. I don't see a pathway for the Bucs to get to number 2. Lee's laid out the scenario of the Devin White angle, but I mean, if Houston wants to trade down and Indianapolis wants to trade up, I mean, Houston's got to be staring at that number 4 overall pick and whatever else Indianapolis throws in. And I don't know, they really would have to be in love with Devin White.
Another thing I thought of, by any standards, guys, by any standards, the Texans need a quarterback. I mean, there's no question about it. They can't start Davis out there, and the stadium will be half empty. There'll be no energy for Texans fans to rally around. So if they really like Hooker, Lee, they have that number 12 pick, but there's no guarantee Hooker would be there at 12, certainly not at 19. They swap with the Bucs, Lee. So if they are sold on Hooker, the Isbit scenario makes a lot more sense. Move back a couple of spots. You could still get Hooker because somebody's going to take Will Anderson, and then Hooker will fall to you. Lee, I've been thinking, if the Texans are sold on Hooker and they pass on Stroud at 2, from a Buck perspective, even if you were ready to go all in to get that number 2 pick, Lee, the fact that the Texans, that's not a sharp organization, I understand
not
it.
Not at all.
Not at all. It's not, you know, it's not the Eagles. It's not the 49ers. You know, it's not the Chiefs. They're not known for their acumen personnel-wise. But, Lee, if they want to pass on Stroud at 2, and if they trade the pick, they're certainly not going to end up with Stroud. Otherwise, they would keep the pick at 2. So it automatically means they're not very high on C.J. Stroud. Lee, would that bother you if you were in the Buck war room? Of course, the Bucks have done their own independent research, and maybe they don't care what the Texans think of C.J. Stroud. But if, Lee, you're going to make a move of that magnitude from 19 up to 2 and give up substantial assets, would you think twice? Because, hey, the Texans scouted C.J. Stroud, and they don't think he's worth the number 2 pick.
No reservations, because we're talking about the Texans. I laid right. It all out this morning. I mean, you're talking about it. I don't think Nick Cassero has a remote clue. I mean, just look at the last 3 years, how he's just destroyed that organization. Hiring Lovie Smith? Really? And then he would talk about hiring Stuart McClown with zero coaching experience above the high school level as a head coach in the NFL? Really? Really? I mean, how Cal McNair hasn't canned that guy already? Well, first off, I can't figure out why Cal McNair hasn't bought the old Houston Oilers nickname from the Titans and gone to that. But that makes too much sense. I just think they're clueless. And as I also laid out, they have a defensive coordinator for head coach. Seems like a nice hire. But always remember and never forget, defensive coordinators just do not value quarterbacks. They don't think like normal people. They're not wired like normal people. It's not in their DNA. They think they can win on defense. And, you know, given the accident that happened last year with Brock Purdy, I would bet $1,000 that at some point this spring, DeMeco Ryans has said in meetings, you know, I can win with Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback. I just need a defense. We don't need a quarterback. And, oh, by the way, there's Devin White being dangled out there.
Steve, one more point I want to make about the scenario, which Lee would welcome, but I think even Lee would say it's probably unlikely. It's unlikely that the number 2 pick ends up falling in the Bucks' laps. Steve, I feel this is important to say. Look, I'm not spy tech. I'm not light. I'm not one of the scouts. But Steve, am I wrong to suggest that C.J. Stroud, with all the things he did in college, still Steve, when you come down to it, I don't think he rises to the level of a can't-miss franchise quarterback. I think he's short. He's not Andrew Luck, in my opinion, Steve. He's not. He's not Peyton Manning, a guy that you're going to say, this is the guy, and there's no way that he's going to be mediocre. If he turns out to be Derek Carr, I don't like that deal. Derek Carr's okay. You know, he's the 14th best quarterback in the league. He's okay. Steve, I don't see C.J. Stroud in the same pantheon as an Andrew Luck. And if you're going to make that move, the guy's got to be great.
You would think so, Ira, but I'm more interested in what the organization really thinks about their current quarterback situation. Because if they really have some hope there, if they really believe in those guys, I don't think they're going to do anything. I really don't. If they think that, you know what, Baker Mayfield, his potential is the same as, you know, this guy in the draft, then why would they do that? Yeah. So I don't know where they really stand. Obviously, you're not going to get honesty from one buck. I don't really believe they believe in Kyle Trask. They've done nothing to show you that they actually do believe in Kyle Trask, other than letting Blaine Gabbert go to the Chiefs, but I don't think that really says much. I don't know. We're going to find out very quickly, because it looks like one of these quarterbacks, or if the, let's say the Bucs like two of the quarterbacks in the draft, at least one of the two that they like should be in their sights somehow, some way. So
that's what I'm saying, Lee, is you're going to make a deal of that magnitude, which is going to kind of define, you know, the next 5 years of the franchise. Lee, you do that for Caleb Williams. I'm not sure you do it for C.J. Stroud.
Perhaps, but I never considered C.J. Stroud generate your lifetime quarterback. Those guys come around about once every 5 or 6 years. I mean, my God, Josh Allen wasn't, you know, people were panning Josh Allen. You know, he turned out fine.
Joe Burrow, maybe, you know.
Joe Burrow was the first overall pick. Yeah, I mean, if C.J. Stroud was all that, or Hendon Hooker, or insert your favorite name of your favorite quarterback, the contract negotiations with the Panthers would be just about wrapped up by now. So it'd be a done deal, period, end sentence. But that doesn't mean you can't draft a quarterback in the first round. He's not going to be dynamite. Josh Allen comes to mind. How many Bucks fans out there would love to have Lamar Jackson? He's 32nd pick? So, you know, just because a guy's not a number one overall pick doesn't mean you can't get a stud quarterback. That's a misnomer.
I got an important question for you, a little philosophical question here for both of you guys. So Tristan Wirfs talked to the media on Monday. The Buccaneers reported back to work. It's optional. It's just conditioning. They're not out there working on stuff. They do have meetings, though, so they are learning the playbook and philosophies and all that other stuff. So Tristan Wirfs got up there and talked about how he's heard from Dave Canales, finally, in detail, and he likes the new philosophy, and the offensive line loves the new run-first philosophy. Talked about the wide zones and getting back to that. And Lee asked him about doing that in Iowa, and he's familiar with it and he's excited and they want to run the ball. So I bring this up, Ira, because Rock Riley finally dropped his podcast, his interview with Todd Bowles this week when they sat down in Phoenix. And you know, it was killing me, Ira, because I was sitting there listening to the interview, but I couldn't share it because it was Rock, so I had to wait on it.
But you had your own interview, Isbitz. You had your own.
I did. Rock went first, and then I got Bowles. But anyway, so Bowles talked about hiring Canales and how much he loved him instantly, and they really clicked, and that he's not like Arians, because Bowles believes you got to just hire the best coach. You can't be somebody you like. You can't be comfortable. You got to have different voices in there, and which I thought was interesting. But the reality is, Bowles said, your scheme has to fit with the guys you have on the team, when he was talking about hiring Canales. So does this mean, guys, that Bowles listened to Canales talk about running the ball first, and a run game, and Bowles said that scheme is going to fit with the guys we have on the team?
I can't buy that. Well, you've said many times on this podcast that nothing has really changed in this regard. The strength of the offense is Evans and Godwin. I mean, who are we kidding here? You know, Wirfs at right tackle, whatever, or left tackle, but it's Evans and Godwin. It's not Rashad White, Lee. I mean, who are we trying to, you know, we have a sophisticated audience here. And we're not going to say Keyshawn Vaughn is the critical component of the 2023 Buck offense. Having said that, go get some better linemen that can open up some better holes and go get another running back. I think they need one. I didn't say it was Bijan Robinson. I didn't say they need one in the first round. But in the first three rounds, take a running back. I'm not content with that stable of backs, Lee. I'm not.
I agree.
So I know Steve's talking about run first. And, guys, I think that's an exaggeration, Lee, because run first teams, you know, in this league, the way things are right now, it's not a priority unless you're the Eagles, play really good defense, got a great offensive line, you know, and they had better backs than the Bucs have. And I think I'm pretty safe in saying this. I don't know about run first, but I'll put it this way. If Trask / Mayfield averages 43 throws a game over a 17-game season, I think Bowles will fire the whole staff at midseason. I mean, that's not going to happen, Lee. There has to be more balance, Lee. That doesn't mean 60% running. I mean, nobody does that. But you can't stink at running the ball. And they stink, Lee, and it affects the play-action pass. Nobody respects it. You know, and when Mayfield had success, it was with the Browns, and they had two good backs and a good offensive line, and Mayfield flourished that year. They went 11-5. And if you're a Browns fan, Lee, that don't happen very often. So they want to run more, especially Bowles. Bowles couldn't have been happy last year with the pass-happy offense when it wasn't working. Lee, by midseason, it wasn't working.
It wasn't terrible either. We're acting like it was Marcus Mariota throwing the ball. Let's hold up here. It was working. It wasn't dominant like it was with Arians. But it was working to a degree. And I've been reading some wide receiver stats, and it just paints a picture that left, which was so over his head, it wasn't funny. That's why I refer to him as SpongeBob. He was over his head, he was having dinner with SpongeBob.
Just to complete the picture, Steve, to be fair. When he did call runs, they were the worst team in the league at running the football. So can you blame Leftwich? Maybe the schemes, the offensive line coach? Steve, it wasn't working. So in Leftwich's mind, Steve, he didn't feel he had much of an alternative.
I just had to ask you, Ira, if Bowles is saying my offensive coordinator clicked with me in part because his scheme has got to fit the players we have. So and then Werfs is out there saying run first. And Canales told me and Lee, we're sitting there having coffee in Indianapolis on a rainy morning, and he's like, run the ball. That's what they're going to do, and they're not going to hide it. So it's interesting. I wanted your take there. Maybe this means they're going to enhance what they're going to do. Maybe Bowles was thinking that the talent that they're going to have, maybe he thought, hey, we're going to draft a left tackle and a tight end in the first two rounds, and we'll have those players. You think that could be a hint?
You can stop right there, Steve. I think that's the point. Lee, and the more I think about it and the 2023 draft for the Bucs, and I've talked a lot about edge rusher, Lee, I have with premium picks, and, Lee, well documented, they don't do a good job of drafting them. They don't. Draft and develop, terrible. Lee, all the signs point to bolstering the offensive line. And I'll tell you why, Lee. You got 1¾ known commodities. Werfs is fantastic. End of story, no argument. I don't care where he plays. He's fantastic. Ryan Jensen went 100%. He's a darn good center. He also gives the Bucs a little physicality in the middle of the line that they need. But he's coming off a serious injury. I know he played against Dallas, Lee. But he's not young. Lee, he's not 27. But I'll grant that they're okay at center with Jensen. Lee, I look around. I see three spots that have to be filled. Now, you can talk Nick Leverett and Hainsey all you want, and Gedeke, Lee and Stinney. You know what those are? Those are names. They're names. They're not proven. Hainsey, to me, didn't prove enough last year. He was okay. Now he's going to shift positions. Is he going to be okay at guard? They're not going to use him at tackle. I don't know anything about Gedeke. What do we know about Nick Leverett? Lee, the more I think about it, the top priority has to be offensive line. And in that regard, maybe that will help you develop that run game that Bowles wants. It's got to be offensive line, Lee.
Yeah, I'm not really ready to throw in the towel and get a key yet. I remember Alex Capper struggled when he was a rookie, and look how he turned out. So
yeah, but Lee, potential means you ain't done it yet. You ain't done it.
Yeah, but I'm once again, I'm not going to give up on, a rookie's a rookie. A rookie's a rookie for a reason, especially a second-round pick rookie. I mean, I'm not expecting the guy to be John Hannah. I think it's way premature to say, Getsy can't play, let's dump him. We both know someone that would say that, you know. The guy has zero patience. Does he have something to prove? Sure. But I'm not giving up on him yet. Same with Logan Hall. If anything, Logan Hall scares the hell out of me because I thought, I know the Bucks saying, oh, he did this okay, he did that okay. I don't expect him to come out and say, yeah, we need to dump him. He got worse in my eyes as the season went on. That's not good for a rookie. But he was a rookie. I'm like, okay, you're a rookie. Let's see what you do from here. So I'm not panicking about Gedeki, and I just think they're drafting a tackle. Now, what's weird is I don't think the Bucks are drafting a safety because they have so many high draft picks and money invested in a secondary. Why should we not think the same thing about tackles? They already have one first-round guy at tackle. Do we expect them to get another first-round guy at tackle? I don't know. I'm kind of thinking second round. Isn't Wirfs the only first-round pick White had on the offensive line?
Yes.
I know they need a tackle. And you know what I think about Wirfs going to left tackle. No need to revisit that. Right. I'm not convinced they're going to spend their first-round pick on a tackle.
Steve, to be fair to Light, he's had a decent track record picking offensive line.
Yeah, that's where I think you're being harsh, Ira. I think you're being too harsh when you say, you know, Gedeki's just a name, this guy's just a name. I mean, we like Lee said, we saw Kappa be a late third round pick and, you know, step in his second year, and a lot of guys do that. And so I think one of these guys is going to be a tackle who is just fine. I don't know which one it'll be. But I think one of them is going to be just fine, just based on Light's track record. So that probably leaves two holes instead of three.
Yeah, but Steve, it's still holes.
I got you.
And you know, up front, you know, Lee, I'm not saying get rid of Hainsey and get rid of Gedeki. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they have a lot to prove at the pro level. Even Hainsey, you know, he was durable. He played, and he wasn't terrible. But I didn't think he distinguished himself. I don't. Now he's going to play guard if he wins the job. All I'm saying is, you know, maybe Steve's right. Maybe one of those guys hit at one of the positions. But, Lee, there's three open spots. You know, I don't see a lot of proven veterans.
They did sign that guy, Matt Filer, Ira. He hasn't missed a start in a few years. He's good competition in there at 6'6", 330, playing for some good teams. So we'll see. But, it wouldn't surprise me either if they went offensive line early. I don't think the fans would love it, but I don't think they really care about the fans when it comes to, you know, making draft picks.
Lee, I'm going to stick to my guns and say, you know, it's tough to deal with absolutes with the 2023 Buck draft. I mean, it can go in so many ways. Lee, suppose Hooker's still there at 16. You know, they could move up three spots. Depending on what intel Light has, and I'll say that also about Light. Over the years, he's had good intel about what other teams are doing. I don't know if he's planting bugs or spies in other war rooms, but he's got good intel. Lee, getting back to my point, the one position, Lee, that I've been saying they're not going to take at 19 is wide receiver, and when I said it, Lee, you jumped all over me saying, now, wait a minute.
No, wait. Correction. Lee didn't say that. Lee didn't say that, Ira. Lee didn't say that.
Maybe it was you, Vince. Maybe it was you.
All I said was I wouldn't put it past the Buck.
I can't even get away with that line, Steve. Can't even get away with the they're not taking a wide receiver. You guys, somebody's going to jump on me.
Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, not only are they giving away the $1,000 at our NFL draft party, they are who you call when you have a disaster like flood, fire, or mold, storm damage in your business or in your home. You call them immediately, and they are going to come out and assess your damage, evaluate it for no charge, and then you've got somebody working with you if you want to go ahead with them that you can trust to do the work and negotiate and work with your insurance company to make sure you get the money that is coming to you, because there's a lot of corruption in the insurance business. And owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, he and his team have 25 plus years on the insurance side. Josh was an adjuster. He's not just a Bucks fan. He is going to be all day long, every day, he is battling with insurance companies. And that's what's made Florida's Elite Restoration really the best in the Bay Area by far. Family owned, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, are you going to arm wrestle Josh? I think you're going to lose at the draft party.
Well, if I can pick up an extra Sawbuck, I'm ready. If I lose to him, I'll look for some one-armed guy and try him on for size. Don't count me out, Steve. I'm from Brooklyn. I know a couple of tricks. A little kick in the groin while you're trying to take the guy's arm down helps a little bit, Steve.
Yeah, all right, got to ask you this. It's not the draft, and we're focused on the draft, but it's just too rich. So Gerald McCoy is retired now, and he is determined, based on his interview, and he said he's liking being retired from the sense of being unleashed. Now he doesn't have to watch what he says anymore. And McCoy did Chris Long's podcast, the Green Light podcast, yesterday. He just let it loose. He explained his rift with Warren Sapp. He called out Sapp, said he's not a man. And I mean, he went overboard. And he also talked about the Bucks and Bucks fans and how much they used to hate him and how much he used to cover for the team, how he would lie about players in press conferences to try to have their back, and how he was always out front and center doing everything they asked him to do, and from charity and this and that, and how they didn't, when he was released, they didn't put out any kind of press release or love statement on social media. And meanwhile, he's like, Ryan Succop got released. They're loving all over Ryan Succop. He's like, you know, and he said he called the Bucks on that. And anyway, he doesn't have sour grapes with the Bucks. He's close with the players. He likes Bowls and Light and all that. But he's really could be a fountain of information going forward. One thing he did say from a football standpoint, Ira, is that he offered to play for the Bucks last season, ride the bench, and he didn't have to play. Said he would even have played on the practice squad because he saw that the coaching was so poor the last couple of years as it related to the pass rush and rushing together, and that the guys are doing too much bull rushing and they're not on the edges right. And he wanted to come in and mentor and help coach, and you know that he felt he could still play, but if he didn't play, that was fine. What do you make of him saying that as far as the coaching goes? And when we tweeted the story out, McCoy responded and said, this is exactly right, and blah, 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 and he shared it. What does that tell you about Todd Bowles?
Well, the first thing it tells me is McCoy's got to get off Twitter, Lee. Get off Twitter. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Why?
You're a daily soap opera. I mean, no wonder the Bucks didn't bring you around. You would have shown up in a kimono the first day of practice. I mean, Lee, enough's enough.
Wants to get a TV job. You don't get that by locking yourself in a closet.
Well, go talk to Dick Ebersol. Don't talk to Buck fans. Lee, if he thought Buck fans were looking at him sideways before, well, attacking Warren Sapp is not going to gain him any favor with Buck Nation. I can assure you that. Sapp, with all his shenanigans and drama surrounding him, was a first ballot Hall of Famer who happened to be a two-time all-decade player. McCoy, no all-decades. Ndamukong Suh, all-decade. So let's take it easy, McCoy. You were good. You might end up in the Ring of Honor. I don't think that's crazy. I don't have a big problem if it happens in about 10 years after other guys get taken care of. But you weren't great, far from it. And, you know, who comes up with a harebrained scheme to be on the practice squad? Lee, I'll say this, and it sounds a little harsh, Lee, but I'm being truthful here. When I saw the stories the other day that Gerald McCoy has announced his retirement, Lee, the first thought I had was, I thought he retired 2 years ago. Oh. I mean, let's be honest, Lee. The guy didn't play last year. He played one game in 2021. He's played one game in 3 years. I thought he retired. So I've heard enough from McCoy right now. He needs to take a moratorium, at least till after the draft. Can you lay off till after the draft, McCoy?
I'm full the other way. I don't want anybody to shut up. I want everybody to talk more. Because you know what? If I don't want to listen to a guy on Twitter, there's this little thing called unfollow. Done.
Well, it gives you fodder for your stories, Lee, and you're very good at it. You're very good at it.
That's another reason why I want him to talk. And, you know, do you think ESPN hired Dan Orlovsky because he's another Paul Brown? And I'm very serious about that. Do you think Daniel Jeremiah got a job at NFL Network because he's the next Ozzie Newsome? They got it because these guys Twittered so much, and the producers at ESPN are reading that. They're like, wow, this is good stuff. Let's hire him. You don't get jobs in the media by locking yourself in a closet. You don't. I find his information compelling. The more players talk, the more I learn. Even Beardo Antonio Brown went on a podcast the other day. We finally found out why the guy went mental. We don't learn that if the guy shuts up.
Hey, Ira, speaking of Antonio, with Antonio Brown going mental, with Lee mentioning that, do you believe Brown when he says that Tom Brady called his agent and was bitching that they were asking for too much money, and that, you know, basically Brady inserted himself to see that Brown got less, maybe essentially possibly saying, hey, he'll take less. We don't have to mess up our cap, and we got to go get this guy too. Do you believe that?
I don't believe anything AB says, Lee. I think he's got zero credibility. Lee, how could he possibly even suggest that Brady might have done him wrong when Brady resurrected his whole career?
We're trying to apply logic to a crazy person, okay? That doesn't work.
And Lee, you know, on Antonio Brown, I don't want to hear from a crazy person, but Lee, it gives you some tremendous stories. It does.
About Antonio Brown in his comment about why he decided he was done with the Bucks. It just, you know, all came to a head in the second half against the Jets to the topless jumping jacks. He said once he got his ring, he was just playing for fun. He wasn't playing for the money. But yet he was in a contract hassle because of money.
Boy, you know. And by the way, Steve, just to put a punctuation, and Lee's right. Guys like Orlovsky, even Chris Sims. I want to, you know, make a point about those two in particular. I don't know enough about Jeremiah to weigh in on his stance, but Steve Orlovsky, you know, the first 6 months, you know, he's making salient points, you know, calm demeanor. I look at him the next year, Steve, and, you know, of course, you know, he goes to, you know, to Bristol and gets pointers, you know, from their tutors over there. And obviously the pointer said, you got to go crazy, Dan. You got to go crazy. You got to be animated. You got to take crazy takes. Same thing with Sims. Chris Sims starts off fine. And the next thing you know, he's doing the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, you know, and he doesn't have Joe Burrow on it or something. I mean, Chris Sims has done some crazy stuff. Orlovsky, you know, I think is a joke now. He's crazy. And that's what happens. Eventually, it happens to almost all of them, Steve. It's television.
Hey, the best one I heard from Orlovsky in a long while. Orlovsky tweeted out, he goes, if you're trying to say that Anthony Richardson had a bad second half against Florida State, I don't know what you're watching. He threw 9 incompletions in a row. Are you kidding me? Real quick about Daniel Jeremiah, and I'm not knocking Daniel Jeremiah at all. Before the NFL Network hired him, Jeremiah started putting down player breakdowns, players in the draft. And obviously his bio, you know, X amount of years as a scout, Baltimore, Philadelphia. He did that one winter, breakdowns on players. The next winter, he's doing that for NFL Network. So, you know, you don't get TV jobs by doing an Aaron Rodgers and hiding in the darkness for 10 days or whatever he did.
Can you, Steve, can you imagine if I would have got one of those TV jobs? You know, I might show up in a skirt, a necklace, whatever they want, a wig. You know, Steve, they offer me an extra couple of bucks. It's Katie bar the door.
Well, Sage, yeah, you could still do that, Ira. I could see you across from Skip Bayless next week. So
maybe I'll show up at the draft party with some kind of crazy costume, Steve. You never know.
Well, Ira, look, I hope you show up at the draft party, as everybody should, with a brand new Ford from Build Curry Ford. 0% financing is back, which is fantastic in this day and age of high interest rates. 0% financing, no payments for 90 days. Check out all the options at buildcurryford.com, buildcurryford.com. And as we heard to start the podcast, they present all of Ira's work, so we love them. But more important, they take care of the Tampa community because they are the Tampa community, 63 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. They've got 40-plus charities that they're active in, Ira, locally, and just great stuff. GM Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, he wants to give you that Ira Kaufman discount and $500 just for ordering a vehicle. So there, BillCurryFord.com. Get all the info right there and start shopping. Ira, look, Kyle Trask took the microphone since we're on such a big quarterback theme here. He took the microphone earlier this week, hit with a bunch of questions. Did anything stand out to you when you watched that? Did you say, hey, this guy looks like a franchise quarterback? Hey, this guy looks like he's just taking a big giant step out of Tom Brady's shadow. What were your thoughts?
I think what came to the forefront for me was his confidence, and I like that. He's self-confident, and why not? Very productive in Gainesville. Yeah, he had some good targets. Okay, that's fine. But he scared Alabama to death, didn't he, Lee? Alabama had a hell of a team. I think he shredded them when he played them. Lee, I hope it really is that they're both starting from the same starting point, him and Mayfield, when training camp starts. The Bucs are saying that's the case. I hope it is. Lee, I hope it is. And may the best man win. And Trask said all the right things. He's not going to trash Mayfield. This is his opportunity. He knows it. Lee, if he doesn't win this battle, I think he's got to be concerned about his future with the organization. He's probably not going to sign a second contract. If he doesn't win the battle, he'll have to move on. He could be a Mike Glennon backup, career backup. Could be. But he's going in with guns blazing. We'll see what he can do. Lee, I know he hasn't impressed you in training camp before, but he'll get his chance with the ones. I think, and I think I speak for all of us, eventually, when the smoke clears, Mayfield's going to be under center week one. But it's not a given. And this kid's not going down without a fight.
Before I say this, I want to remind people that I applauded the Bucs for drafting Trask. That was a hell of a move. If Trask wins the job, I don't know if that says something about his fortitude and how he's bounced back from deep adversity, as deep as you can get in training camp.
Yeah,
or that says more about Mayfield.
You could look at it either way, Lee. You could.
Hey, Sage, a couple things. First, I want to applaud you earlier in this podcast, about 15 minutes ago. You said we have a sophisticated audience, and I never thought of them quite like that. So, you know what? It is a sophisticated audience, I suppose, if they're listening to the Sage and appreciating him, and especially if they're still here now, deep into the podcast. And you can hang out with the Sage Thursday night, draft night, Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City.
It's a no BS crowd that listens to us, Lee, and they see through things, other websites, other media outlets. I'm not naming names. People who are trying to suggest Jason Light's never made a bad draft pick in his life. Our audience sees through that, Lee. That doesn't mean that Jason Light hasn't been a good general manager, but he's had a couple of times the entire draft class was terrible. I mean, from top to bottom, terrible. So these things happen, but he's also made some huge hits. Lee, you said they may not be interested in really taking a safety at a premium pick. Lee, I think they're looking at that nickelback, maybe with a premium pick. Somebody that they really think has the physical and mental attributes you need to play the slot. That's a priority need for Todd Bowles, Steve, is a nickelback.
How do you define premium pick?
Top three rounds.
To be a premium pick, first round only.
Oh, okay.
O.J. Howard. Dirk Cutter had a complete and total infatuation with O.J. Howard. As it turned out, he wasn't even close to being the best tight end in that draft. There's some guy by the name of Kittle that was drafted later on. But anyway, the O.J. Howard draft. A lot of Bucs fans, I'm sort of included because I thought he was quality. He would have been a quality first-round pick, even though he didn't go in the first round. But as history shows, he was very much worthy of a first-round pick. Me and many other Bucs fans were screaming for Dalvin Cook, screaming. And every once in a while, I go to bed crying thinking about that. And I know some other Bucs fans, they're still PO'd about that. That's one of those famous picks that will go down, have legs. We'll be talking about that for 20 years.
You know,
could have had Dalvin Cook. Even the safety for the Chargers. He even told me that at the Pro Bowl. Because he's a big Bucs fan. He grew up in Polk County. He goes, they could have had Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, Derwin James.
Derwin James told me that. It looks like Dalvin Cook's days in Minnesota are done.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It looks like they've turned on him. It does.
Would Jason Light, would he entertain righting a grave wrong in whatever gas Dalvin Cook has in the tank? We were talking earlier, you and I both, Ira, that that we believe the Bucks are going to add to that running back room. I'm thinking the draft. But would Jason Light right a grave wrong and bring in Dalvin Cook with whatever fumes are left in his tank?
I think 2 years ago the answer would be an unequivocal yes. I think Cook's slipping, and at his age with the wear and tear, if it cost him a fifth-round pick, I say yes. But I don't think you can get him for a fifth-round pick. At this stage of his career, Steve, I don't see him being a Buck. I think they're going to draft the back.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's also hard to say that he's slipping that much. I mean, you know, you're still a guy who's had over 1,100 yards and big touchdown numbers and can catch. So, you know, no, he's not. Doesn't look like the same guy who was tearing up the league for a couple of years. But I really wouldn't say that he slipped that much. But again, I'm not watching every Vikings game. I don't think they go there, Ira. But it begs the question. I wrote this up, and I have to ask you this because you are the one who always goes here in different ways. Normally with the quarterback, will the Glazers put their influence out there and give their blessing? Wink, wink. Hey, Bijan Robinson, if we draft this guy, we're probably going to get an extra night game out of it. We are probably going to sell a ton of jerseys. We're going to excite the fan base, and we're all for it. But you do what you want. Do you think that's coming, or he's not big enough to do that?
I think that's a pretty darn good read, Steve. If Light wants to have a conversation with the Glazers, Lee, and say we're leaning towards Robinson, if he's there at 19, maybe even if he's there at 16, we might toss a third-round pick to a team or a fourth round to move up three or four spots to take him. Lee, from a Glazer perspective, and Lee, you always look at it from a business angle when we talk about the Glazers, rightfully so. That will cause a lot of excitement in town as opposed to a guard or an offensive tackle. And I think that counts a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that the Glazers are going to tell Light, hey, we think you should draft Bijan Robinson. But if they run it past the Glazers that they're thinking about it, I don't think they're going to get any opposition from ownership, Lee.
Probably not. It's an interesting thought about the business angle with Bijan Robinson. There's another business angle for you. You know I'm hung up on quarterbacks because I'm not convinced the Bucks have one. Ian Rappaport, I emphasize the word, several teams have contacted the 49ers about Trey Lance. And while the 49ers are not making calls, they're certainly fielding calls for Trey Lance. What do you think he would be worth? Now, granted, he hasn't shown much. That's why he's available. But what do you think he would be worth? He might get a hell of a bargain because his ceiling is going to be a little higher than, I'm going to guess, Baker Mayfield.
I think he could be had, Lee, for a fourth-round pick at this point. He hasn't done anything. And it would mean that the 49ers gave up on a guy that they really wanted, and they've looked at him and decided. Now, look, Purdy had a good season. I'm not saying he did before he got hurt. But if you think Lance has a real bright future, I don't think now's the time to deal him because, Lee, he hasn't done anything. Maybe Lance would start this year. Maybe Purdy not ready. Let's see what Lance can do. Get him some starts till Purdy's ready. And then maybe you can raise his profile a little. Steve, I don't see people clamoring for Trey Lance around this league.
I think Todd Bowles would rather run naked into a pit of alligators than to trade for Trey Lance.
I don't even want to think about that image, Isbitz. I don't want to think about it.
All right, Ira, we are getting fired up. We will be back later this week with another podcast. Do you have a parting word?
Well, my parting word is come one, come all. To the party of all parties, the draft party, Thursday, the 27th. I will be there making the rounds, and Steve's seen me work a room. There are a few better. I haven't been there since Big Storm took over, but I know the venue. I think it used to be called Hamburger Mary's, and I have been there. It's a huge place. So you're going to have a lot of fun if you come out, all kinds of prizes, and enjoy the draft with us.
Ira, you realize you just said that you basically just said you went to a drag show is what you're saying.
Nobody knows what that place is, Steve. No, nobody knows.